HD. You can hear us on 95.3 and 100.7 FM, as well as 560thesource.com, streaming live, or the TuneIn app on your dumb phone.
Sometimes mine's a really dumb phone, too. Like today, I was trying to text, and all these letters just started going everywhere.
Sometimes they're
like,
not
come
so smart.
On. No.
Sometimes it's user error.
The predictive text
usually
is pretty bad.
User error.
Susan Cochevar joining us now. She is running for House District 29 here in the state of Colorado. SusanForColorado.com is the website where you can find out more about her. So how goes the battle?
It's going pretty well.
Doing all right?
I'm doing really well. Yes, the race is really heating up, and we have 55 days left, and every day is important.
Dan and I were trying to figure out earlier.
Days.
55
okay,
days.
Okay, that's what it is.
55.
Yep.
55. I can't drive 55. Anyway, 55 days.
I really can't. Well, yeah, sorry. No, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to do, period. So let's talk a little bit about, first of all, your district, what it encompasses, folks listening that would... basically folks that are listening that will find your name on their ballot. Let's talk to them first.
Yep. So my district is in Arvada and Westminster. It's bordered on one side by Sheridan and Wadsworth on the other side. To the south, it's bordered by I-70, and it goes all the way up to 120th, and then it curves kind of around Stanley Lake area.
Okay.
It looks like a gun.
Looks like a gun.
Yeah,
hey,
the lake part
wow.
is the handle. Yeah.
Wow.
So when the Democrats drew that up, did they know that? Did they realize it looked like a gun? Somebody should be in trouble over that.
Yeah, they're going to scare a whole lot of people.
That's exactly right. Some kid will look at that map and have nightmares forever.
So what are your, and I know you very well, so I have to be careful how I do this because I know Susan extremely well, and she's been on Rush to Reason numerous times in the past, but I want to make sure that I get the right information out to folks that are trying to decide who to vote for. So I need to put some of what I know away and ask questions that might sound dumb to, Dan and I and even you, but I have to realize there's a lot of people listening that may not know who Susan is in the first place. So what do you feel are some of the most important issues or things that are facing your district that don't have good representation now?
Right. Well, for me, it's about less government.
Okay.
I run a small business in Commerce City, and I employ people, and the taxes and regulation have just exploded exponentially. And that is really hurting all the individuals with dreams in my House District, all the people that want to start businesses and grow them or just make more where they are. Their employer can't pay them more. We know we're all the health care issues and insurance issues and just complying with all that regulation, it's massive. Do you know, I was looking at a sign code just in the city that I'm located. 40
I'm laughing.
Pages.
I'm laughing just because I know what she's going to say
40 pages
next.
Of the sign? You got to be kidding me.
No, it's ridiculous.
40? Really?
That's just a sign code.
It's ridiculous.
And that's just a city. That's not a state or
no.
Don't these
federal.
People have anything else to do?
No, it's so micromanaging, and it's interesting. I was at a forum.
Yeah, and real quick, by the way, it's not just like, okay, Dan, you can have a sign that equals, X size, and it can be X from the street, and so on. I mean, I get the fact that we have to have some sign codes, okay? I'm not going to say that we don't have to. If city didn't have them, you'd have, some guy next door to some guy that, you'd have one business that could afford to have a, billboard on his property, and the guy next to it would have some little bitty thing. Okay, I get the reason why we have to have codes to make things look fairly uniform and make a city look better so you get people actually move in and live there. I get that, okay?
Oh, okay, well—
But you don't need 40 pages to explain
it's in,
that.
Maybe it's in large print so the elderly can read it.
It's not.
Isn't that large print?
No,
I can understand some of that. You don't want a sign too close to the corner, so
correct.
People can't
so it's blocking
the
intersection,
turn,
I want to make sure everybody understands that I'm not saying we can't have any guidelines at all. Because and I understand that it's also Susan. You know this as well as I. It's some bad business owners at one point in time that caused some of the codes and regulations that we have today because some knucklehead decided, I'm going to put a billboard up on the corner that nobody can see around and we'll have traffic accidents after that.
Well, and sometimes...
If he just used common sense to begin with, that may have never been an issue.
Well, and sometimes some of the regulations come from bureaucrats because they think something is going to
That's
be dangerous, and it's not.
It's never been there.
I cite ice skates as an example. That probably never would have... flown, you're going to do what on a blade?
Well, that's a good point.
So, yeah.
Yeah, right. On a single blade, even.
Single blade.
Yeah,
on ice.
You're going to ski downhill with what?
Well, you won't catch me skiing.
Bureaucrats would have been involved in some of that from the get-go. A unicycle never would have been built.
Mm-mm.
So I get where you're coming from on that, and everybody knows me on this. I am definitely not a guy that believes in a lot of regulations and big government and anything along those lines. I also know this, and I understand where, you know, certain individuals at cities and counties have to wear certain hats for a reason, because you just can't have a free-for-all. I get that also. Now, some would say, well, yeah, John, you can. Well, not if you want people moving into your city and spending money and making things work for everybody that lives there. You do have to have some order, quote unquote. Without order, it's total chaos, and you can't have that either. Now, how far you push the order, quote unquote, that's the problem that I have. 40 pages, way too much.
I think we're way past that point. And
they're probably even getting in. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're probably even getting into the nuances of font types and sizes and what can be on the sign and on, right?
Yeah, how tall it can be, all these kinds of things. It's interesting, though, because some of these cities actually violate their own.
Their own signs violate the code,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, violate the code, of course. Now, I'm running for state legislature, so that I don't have any say there, but that's just an example of one thing that business right. owners have to keep up with. And if you're trying to start a business, boy.
I wouldn't want to start over.
No, it's
I've done this for a really long time, and fortunately, I've done this a really long time, but I would not want to start from scratch again.
Well,
it'd be hard.
Yeah, and a good deal of these regulations, even for somebody who has a good idea and they're ready to go, if you set up a business, you have to meet so many regulations and codes that you have to take out an enormous amount of debt in order to comply with all those, and that really destabilizes our businesses.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So one of the main issues for Susan, regulations, and some of these start clear down at the, you talk about the local level. I mean, some of these are at the city level, the county level. Mm-hmm. They then kind of work their way up to the state level. But typically speaking, most folks don't realize this, but typically speaking, most sign codes and regulations revolving, you know, what color you can paint your building even, those are all done at the county or the city level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some people just thought, wait a minute, you just said paint the color of your building? There's actually codes for that? Yeah. There is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Major. Just make sure everybody understands this. Just because you own your own piece of property doesn't mean you can build whatever you want to on it.
Right.
Am I right in saying that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You can own it free and clear. And have some grander plan of something you want to put on it. Think again, because you will now have to start the process of what we call land entitlement, which means you have to get entitled to actually build what you'd like to put on that piece of property. That includes if you need to subdivide it. That includes the type of building you would put on it. That includes how much square footage each building will have, how tall it will be, its footprint, how much green space you'll have, how many trees will be there, how wide the sidewalks will be, how many light poles will be there. Do you get my gist?
I get it. I'm just like,
it goes down the line.
It's making my head explode, actually.
Some out there get very upset and mad at developers. Let me tell you what, folks. Developers carry a huge risk and a huge burden when they take on a piece of property and develop it like I just mentioned.
Yeah, they do. And they're required to put parks in and all kinds of things. You know,
Dedicated open space, they call it.
That's right. If you wanted to build a car wash, for example, in a city, you have to go through city planning. And sometimes the city staff doesn't want a car wash
there, even though
you found the very best location
and you just get denied. Yep, been there, done that.
And maybe it would be good for the rest of the citizens. Maybe they'd actually like that too.
Yeah, because here's something that's interesting.
Issue.
Folks probably don't realize this, but car washes actually save water.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of what's in a car wash, the water there gets recycled, filtered, and reused, and it's actually uses less water when somebody actually goes to the car wash than actually washing the car in their own front yard.
Yeah, very, very efficient compared to that.
But most cities look at car washes as a bad thing, not a good thing.
Yeah.
Why, they like dirty cars?
No, it's just not the quote-unquote, you know, type of business most cities want to see out front on one of their major thoroughfares, because it's not quote-unquote attractive. Okay?
I'm being honest.
You know, and you'll find cities that if they do allow it, the only thing you will see of the car wash is the sign and the side of it.
Right.
You will not see the bays. You won't see where you drive in. You position it in such a way, or you screen it with walls or landscaping where you cannot see the bays because they don't want that being seen. There are cities in this town, and I know them specifically. One of them happens to be up in the Boulder area and starts with an L and ends with an E.
Hmm.
Okay?
You can't say it. I can say it.
Actually, and I think there's a baseball bat slugger that kind of goes along with the name of this particular city. And up there, you cannot put any auto shop anywhere where it's got any kind of visibility to a main street at all, period. It doesn't exist in that town. New. If it exists, it's because it was there grandfathered in from years ago.
That's absurd.
Those are what cities do. So, to your point, Susan, that's what we're up against as business owners.
Yeah, and sometimes those things wind up being, I think, dangerous for drivers and for the elderly. If you're looking for something and it's all hidden, you know. That's,
yeah, and you don't know how to use your dumb phone.
Yeah.
You may never not, you know, and you may not be a dumb phone user. You may never find or you're, you know, what you're actually looking for.
That's right.
And the other thing that they do when they do this, by the way, folks, just real quick, when cities and counties do sorts of things that I just mentioned, they may think they're doing something really great for their city, but what they've done is made it impossible for businesses in that particular area or zone to succeed.
That's right.
Because without the visibility of that drive-by traffic, they may never be able to succeed. And there's examples all up and down our different cities around here, and I can go to every different city in town, you know, in every different city in our area, from, you know, Louisville on around. You name it, I can go pretty much anywhere and show you where there are businesses that struggle because the city did not allow the complex to get built the way it should have been built to begin with. Yep. They thought they had a better idea than the developer.
Yep, and sometimes they arrange and we can't even get out of the parking lots. It's so frustrating.
Yep.
And that's just the city. You know, when you start looking at the state, you have all these regulatory bodies, and they all have all their own regulations, and they're massive. And if you go on Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies.
DORA.
Yeah. And you click on all of the different categories. Every Friday, you will get a gigantic dump of new regulations. Every Friday.
Seriously?
Seriously.
How in the world are you supposed to keep up with all that?
I don't know. You're running your business. And
so we should do this. Before we come back, because Susan will join us here for the next segment. When we come back, we should actually go into, I want to... And there's a whole list of things that we can go through, and we can actually just go through one and give an example.
That sounds good
to me. Should we do that?
Sounds good.
All right, let's do that. Susan Cochevar is with us again. SusanForColorado.com is the website. She is running for House District 29, which is up in the Westminster, Arvada, that particular area. And you'll know where you're at when you go to get your ballot here in roughly just a couple of weeks. You will see, if you're in her district, you will see Susan Cochevar on there. Just put a little check right next to that box right off the bat. That's an easy one. Just mark that box, call it good, decide on everything else later, who you want to vote for president, but just put a little check mark next to Susan's name right off the bat, and you got that one handled.
Please okay? Do it.
That one's easy. All right, Affordable Interest Mortgage. Our good friend Kurt Rogers, again, he will join us at 5 o'clock today. We'll talk to him. You can ask questions, anything you want to know when it comes to mortgages. Kurt is your guy, and he'll answer your questions. 720-895-0500. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage. Tell him Rush to Reason.
Pay 4% of
next one.
When you drive through park.
And anything you need for your...
Regulated by Division of Real Estate.
Next, 1027. Big repairs, they'll do. 1071 is...
When you drive through 20 service bays and not fixed faster.
Business equip
12-month...
You can save.
Reason Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Again, Susan Cochevar is with us today. If you want to know more about Susan's campaign, go to SusanForColorado.com. So, I told you before the break that we would look at what is actually regulated, and we would just kind of run through a few of these questions. What I thought we'd do first off here is what we regulate. Okay, so this is in Colorado. Now, mind you, this list is about, let's see here, 10, probably 20 to 25 names long. There are 136 entries.
Wow.
There is 20. Showing 1 to 25, and there's multiple pages. So there's 136 entries. So we'll just give a few things that are regulated here in Colorado. Now, some of these make sense. I get that. Okay. Accounting firms, public. Acupuncturists. I suppose you want somebody using clean needles that's an acupuncturist, maybe. I mean, you know.
I suppose.
An addiction counselor. Okay. Athletic trainer. Now, what are you going to regulate an athletic trainer for? Either he does a good job or he doesn't. What?
Right.
I would think the market would determine that one.
Well, they tried to regulate yoga instructors, too, 2 years ago.
Audiologists. Banks, of course. Barbershops. This is the one that always kills me. Barbershops.
If you give a bad haircut, they're not coming back.
Yeah. Well, and let's talk about that one for just a little bit. You know, those kind of regulations really hurt the poorest among us. If you're somebody who, like the gal who braided hair really well, the government stops her from going around and braiding people's hair and making money and feeding her kids and growing her business. She has to go through beauty school, which might cost $10,000. So you've just locked her into poverty.
Very true. Boxing promoters, they're regulated. Chiropractors, civil rights.
Civil rights what?
It just says civil rights. Common carriers, those are, you know, you don't want to know about all the DOT regulations that we as commercial operators have to go through. That's a whole other story, which, by the way, just got to get this out there. Yesterday, I'm on my way down the station, going down I-25, down through Denver. And Denver cops are well known for this. If you're a Denver cop, sorry, but I'm just going to lay it out here because this is a pet peeve of mine. I see one big truck pulled over on the side of the road right by the stadium by Colfax. And I'm thinking, what's going on there? The guy's speeding? You know, what was going on? So, you know, you can tell the policeman's about done with things and the truck's pulling out. So then the cop pulls out. And I mean, right away, I see in my rearview mirror, lights are on. And I'm like, gosh, somebody must be really zipping by. He goes behind another 18-wheeler, pulls it over. So what he's doing there is he is randomly pulling over big trucks just to go through a quote-unquote inspection.
Checkpoint.
Mm-hmm. It's basically a rolling checkpoint where he can go in there and see how many violations are on that truck. And my view of it is it's a money collection device.
That's exactly what it is.
That's all he's doing. He's just collecting money.
Yeah, because I think we've talked about this
before.
He's
not pulling over the regular passenger car to see how it passes inspection. Only commercial operators. To me, that's a big joke.
Yeah, some of those regulations are draconian. They take the trailer and everything.
Yep. They do everything.
One minor
violation. And if it's not, okay, I'm all for having safe vehicles on the road. I'm an auto guy. I get that. Where my pet peeve is, it's not equal. They're pulling over who they feel like can write the bigger check, letting all the passenger cars drive by. Even though some of those might have a pack load of illegals in them with no licenses that are driving by with a vehicle that's totally unsafe, but we're going to pull the 18-wheeler over instead. Just a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, where they're going where the money is, where they perceive the money is.
They're going where the
money
is.
But not only that, they're really affecting that guy's livelihood, too. If he starts getting a bunch of tickets, how is he going to support his family? Because
they're affecting his livelihood by delaying his load.
Well, you got that right.
And that affects all of us because everything's trucked.
Yeah, just delaying his load is enough. Dental Connection, guys, is up next. 25 to 75% off your dental needs. That's what they will save you. They do that by operating as basically your dental broker. They'll take care of everything for you. You pay them directly. Everyone qualifies at 0% financing. 888-748-3990. Tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And this is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. This hour is over. If you missed any of it, please listen to us between 6 and 7 p.m. tonight. And if it is getting close to 7 o'clock, have a fantastic evening, and we will see you tomorrow. Real quick, we're going to have Susan Kochevar hang with us, susanforcolorado.com. She'll be with us in the next hour. Your Facebook page.
Susan for Colorado. Like it and share it.
Easy enough.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that.
All right, we'll be back. Hour number two coming your way. Don't go anywhere. We've got somebody from Americans for Prosperity coming up to talk about. Actually, Michael's coming on to talk about.
I'm all for prosperity, too, by the way.
Well,
and I'm an American.
If we get minimum wage increase.
Good luck with that.
May not have that. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Paula Usted Inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I am your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Dan Muir is back in the saddle with me. So if you missed our first hour, go back and listen to it again via our podcast or catch it tonight between 6 and 7.
That's right, between 6 and 7. And John, by the way, it's great to be back. And once again, I just want to thank everybody for their love, prayers, and support.
It's good to have you back. Appreciate it. Susan Kochevar is also going to join us this hour. We didn't get a chance to quite finish up with everything we had for her, but we've got a special guest in the meantime that we're going to talk to. Michael Fields from Americans for Prosperity is joining us now. Michael, welcome back to Rush to Reason. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys, it's great to be back. I'm doing well, and I'm glad that Dan's back and doing well.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, so appreciate that. Michael, talk to us. We've got an amendment coming up. Actually, there's lots of amendments coming up, but some in particular, especially for those of us, myself included, Susan is sitting here, we're both employers. This particular amendment is a big deal to me, it's a big deal to the entire state because I think it hurts our economy. It does not help anyone when it's all said and done. Talk about Amendment 70.
Yeah, so Amendment 70 is a minimum wage increase. It's a 44% minimum wage increase, and basically what it would do, as you mentioned, is hurt small businesses the most. If you look at a group called Common Sense Policy Roundtable, which really teams up with economics professors and other people who study these things, says that here in Colorado, it would cost 90,000 jobs by 2022. And really, this minimum wage increase up to $12, it's currently $8.31. Would then continue on in future years to go along with inflation. But, the job loss that you're pricing people out of the market, and that's the biggest problem for this. Small businesses, obviously are working on small margins. And so they're going to have to lay people off or raise their costs to a degree that makes them less competitive.
Yeah, no, and Michael, your last comment, and I say this all the time on air because being an operator, I know how this works. Ultimately, when it's all said and done, and this is the thing people that are pushing for minimum wage don't understand. So there's two equations here, or two parts of the equation, I feel. One is the businesses will never absorb. They may absorb a little bit of it, but let's face it, it gets passed on to the person buying the product when it's all said and done. So that's the number one part of the equation. Number two, and the reason why it has to get passed on is because it's not just that minimum wage worker that's now getting a raise. Everyone in your workforce now gets a raise.
Well, there's another problem, too, because you have to match the Social Security and Medicare.
So it costs you another, 10% roughly on top of that.
Yeah.
So if you raise it $2, add another 20 cents to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the perfect example of that, too, is, all the money that's going in to support this, vast majority of it is union money. And the reason is, because a lot of their wages are tied to what the minimum wage is.
That's true.
When that minimum wage goes up, they end up getting that raise. And obviously these union bosses are very interested in it because they want the political money to go out there and fight for candidates and the issues that they want.
Michael, real quick, I'm going to stop you for just one second. Explain what you just said. I understand it. I think Dan and Susan both understand it. I know Charlie does, but I'm not sure everybody out there listening really understands when you say, wait a minute, why would a union boss care how much his or her workers make? Explain that.
So within union contracts, a vast majority of the time, the union contract states that they will be paid, two or three times or whatever the amount is, or X amount of dollars more than minimum wage. So if you bump that up, that 44%, you're bumping up these union workers' salaries too. And when that happens, a percentage of the union salaries go to the union in general, which tends to advocate for liberal campaigns, liberal ideas. And so these union bosses are very interested in their people are making more money.
Yep.
And really because of the political power that it would give them.
Yep. Their political funds or their dues is everybody out there listening understands union dues. The dues will increase 44% roughly.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's an easy way to look at it.
So millions of dollars are coming in to support this. From unions, out-of-state union interests, and that's really what, we're up against here. And really, part of this is just educating people on, most people naturally will just think, these people don't make a lot of money, we should